just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am, who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
Well, thank God. I want to start this podcast wishing all the dads out there happy Father's Day. You know, my dad, William Nicholas Parker, was born 1935, Wills Point, Texas. And I was just calculating this a minute ago. He would have been 89 if he was still alive. He died at 54, real young, back in 91. But thank God I'll see him again. I remember praying and interceding for him when he was dying of cancer. And I said, Lord, if I can't get him healed, I want to make sure he's born again and goes to heaven. And I'll never forget that I knew something about that prayer. I said, man, that prayer went right into the presence of God. And then when he died, I had an assurance in my heart, he's with the Lord. So thank God for that. Okay, let's get started. Turn to Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding give a favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Let's read that in the New Living Translation. A person with good sense is respected. A treacherous person is headed for destruction. Proverbs 13:34, Christian Standard Bible. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now look at this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let's read that in the International Standard Version. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for well-being, not for calamity, in order to give you a future and a hope. See, that's what you have in the Lord. Turn to 1 Timothy 4:7. But I have nothing to do with irreverent folklore and silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourselves spiritually fit, for physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything, in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. Let's read that in the New Life Version. Have nothing to do with foolish stories old women tell. Keep yourself growing in godlike living. Growing strong in body is all right, but growing godlike living is more important. It will not only help you in this life, but in the next life also. You know, part of the foundation is eternal judgment. And we all have to become aware that we're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever. Even after the body dies, our spirit souls live on. Now, for the transgressors, they will go to the great white throne judgment. And I wouldn't want to be at that judgment, because to stand before the living God guilty and you've rejected salvation, it's all over. But Christians are not going to this judgment. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where we will be judged to see what our rewards are going to be throughout eternity. And so if there's anyone out there listening to me and you don't believe the words of God, but you got enough sense to consider, well, if this is true, I want to know and receive this salvation. Turn to Hebrews 11:1, International Standard Version. Now, faith is assurance that which we hope for will come about, and the certainty of that which we cannot see exists. See, you can be convinced in your heart that God exists. Let's read that same scripture in the Contemporary English Version. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. And just like we have to be convinced of the existence of God, we have to be convinced of sin, at least some of our sin. Some of our sin we already know. You know, it doesn't matter which direction you go in life, whether you choose to do good or evil, you're going to have some bad times. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have heartache. You know, and I've shared about the suffering you go through in fiery trials, you know, talking to believers when you're tempted by evil spirits, the pressure these spirits can put on you and how grievous a correction can be when God's dealing with you. And likewise, people, you know, in the world, people that don't believe, they go through pressure and experience heartache. And the devil presses in. They just don't know it's devils. And there is pressure when you know, when you have to do something, you're not sure you can do it, or you're pushed to the limit. But when the devil comes after you, it's really magnified, that pressure. And you'll get your eyes open to see this. You know, when the devil's pressuring you, it can be hard just to get out of bed. But here's the point I'm trying to make. As you follow God, the pressure you go through will work for your good. Whereas a person who doesn't believe God, they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. They don't make an effort to keep the words of God. They suffer pressure too, but it's not doing them any good. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So, whether you believe there's a devil and evil spirits, or you don't believe, it doesn't matter. These spirits exist, and they are working at devouring you and destroying people all around us. And just look around. Look at the destruction in the people. And you get your eyes open, you'll see who's doing this. And the devil wants to lead people deeper and deeper into sin so they will never turn to God. And the devil wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy you financially. If he can't destroy you financially, then he'll lead you to go after money and covet it and fill your heart with idolatry. See, if the devil can't get you one way, he'll try to get you another way. Now, the person who follows God and resists the devil steadfast in the faith, they're being perfected. See, we just read that. Established, strengthened, settled. So some suffering, as the devil comes after you, it works for your good. Not some of it, all of it does, actually. If you resist him steadfast in the faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14, International Standard Version. A person who isn't spiritual doesn't accept the things of God's Spirit, for they're nonsense to him. He can't understand them because they're spiritually evaluated. See, unbelievers, and really actually some Christians, they say that's nonsense, thinking there's a devil and we have a spiritual enemy that he's after us, destroy us. Well, it is what it is, folks. I'm telling you, there is a devil, and God will show you this. You know, when I was 10 years old, I remember thinking how evil the hippies were in the 60s and how they did drugs. And it was like, I'm trying to put this back in the time frame, but I think it was about a year later, my brother came to me and he showed me a sandwich baggie with a grassy substance in it. And I said, what is it? And he said, it was marijuana. And I said, throw it away, Derek, it's evil. And I think it was maybe the next year, a friend of mine came to me named Jim, and he said, you got to try this stuff. And it was marijuana. And he had this strong spirit of sorcery operating through him. And this spirit made this seem so fascinating to me. And I was deceived into smoking a joint with Jim. And my life took a dramatic change. And the devil had moved in on me and now got a strong hold on me, or stronger hold. And after that, I became very rebellious against authority and then started trying different types of drugs and then drinking alcohol. And the very type of person that I knew was evil, I became. But I didn't come to realize this. See, I went in, there was a darkness came into my life. And, you know, even at that time, my grades began to go down in school. Those spirits stupefied me. And it wasn't till years later God showed me what happened to me. But I thought, why did I end up doing something that I knew was so evil? Because when the devil moved in on me, he fascinated me with it. He, you know, these spirits will charm you. They'll deceive you. They'll make evil look good. And I ended up doing it and got deceived. Now, let's read Proverbs 13:15 again. Good understanding give a favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. So let's look at the way of transgressors. And this is where we all started. All right? Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. That's us. We've all been under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now see, this is people, this is everybody under sin, everybody in a fallen state. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison is ass under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are shift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways. See, the way of transgressors is hard. Let's read verse 16 again. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known, there's no fear of God before them. Now, let's look at the love and the mercy of God towards the human race in this condition. Let's read the next verse. Now we know that what things ever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. See, it went to talking about us being in a fallen grace, a fallen state, to now God puts the law in. So, the whole human race is under sin, and then God puts us all under the law of Moses. Why? Because by the law, we come to the knowledge of sin. Then we're made guilty. Now, you may not understand the love and mercy of God here, but you'll learn God is going to make us aware of how wrong we are and make us experience guilt. He doesn't want us to stay in that position, but he uses it to bring us to his son. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, we're in a fallen state. We're under sin. Misery and destruction are underway. So God puts a law in. It gives us the knowledge of sin, and it makes us guilty. And so now we know. We know about sin. Nobody can say, I didn't know that was wrong. Oh, yes, you did. You may not discern every sin, but you know you're in sin, and you know you're a sinner. You know you're doing wrong. So, and as soon as, now let's continue on in these scriptures, but you'll see as soon as God brings us to the knowledge we're in sin, then God declares that he's made us righteous. Now you have to receive the Lord and believe on him. Verse 21, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. See, God didn't put the law and then leave us there. Then he goes on to say, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God which by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no different. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The next verse we see God puts off dealing with people's sin, waiting for them to come to him. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that's an appeasement, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Okay, turn to Exodus 34:6, but keep your place in Romans. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord God. Now, this is the very nature of God. God's going to tell you what he's like. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance and goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Now, look at this, and that will by no means clear the guilty. See, he'll forgive, but he had to pay for the sin. He wasn't just going to clear us. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, on the third and fourth generation. God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, has abundance of goodness and truth, but he won't clear the guilty. And if they don't get forgiven, that the punishment can go onto their children and their children's children to the third and the fourth generation. See, that's another thing about why I wanted to serve God and humble myself. I didn't want bad things coming on my children. And if you're out there and you love your children, the best thing you can do for your children is to humble yourself before the living God and submit to Him and obey Him. All right? You know what? When I said that prayer for my dad, and this goes back to even your parents, when I said that prayer, I want to make sure my dad was saved. I was submitting my life to God, and God heard my prayer. And He made sure that my dad called upon the Lord and got right. Because my dad was an agnostic during this time in his life. But I interceded for my dad, and I believe that God brought him to repentance on his deathbed. Because there, I knew God heard that prayer, and I'm convinced God took him to heaven. And so you love your parents, you love your children, obey God. See? So thank God He's long-suffering. He forbears us, and He does it because He loves us. All right? So now the next verse, verse 26, tells us God justly dealt with our sins, therefore He can justify. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, God is righteous, and He could not just overlook sin. There had to be a punishment for sin, so He said, I'll pay for it. And you know what He did? The second person in the Godhead was made flesh and became a man and died in our place. See, when you get your eyes open, you'll see the love of God everywhere in the Bible. See, God is love. And you know, you say, well, God hates wickedness. Yeah, He hates wickedness. But, and you say, well, He's angry at the wicked. Yeah, but when you read the whole Word of God and get an understanding of it, what He hates is when you won't come to the truth, when you won't let Him lead you to repentance, when you stay in your sin, when you stay in darkness. When the light comes, if you'll come out of the darkness, He forgives you and everything's good. What angers God is a person that continues in their sin and they refuse to humble themselves. They know they're wrong, but they won't humble themselves. You know, people are searching for the right way in life. But like we read earlier, there's none that seek after God. So basically, people are lost. All right? Let's read that Romans 3:11 again, the International Standard Verse. No one understands. No one searches for God. All right? John 6:44. No man can come to me. This is Jesus talking. Except the Father which have sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So every person out there who's received the Lord, you didn't do it all of a sudden decide to come to Him. God the Father brought you to Jesus. The reason people try to do what is right, you know, and I'll just say this, the reason why people even try to do what's right is because God put it in their heart to do what's right. See, look at Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law to themselves, which show the work of the law written in the heart, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts that meanwhile accusing or else excusing them. See, God put the law in the heart. He wrote it in the heart, and it causes us to try to keep the law. Let's read that in the New Life Version. The people who are not Jews do not have the law. When they do what the law tells them to do, even if they do not have the law, it shows they know what they should do. They show that what the law wants them to do is written in their hearts. Their own hearts tell them if they're guilty. See, this is why universally people know it is wrong to steal, lie, or commit murder. Certain basic of the Ten Commandments, because the law is written in their heart. And like I said, it causes you by nature to try to do what's right. It causes you to feel guilty. It gives you the knowledge of sin, but it makes you try to live right. But you see, you won't seek after God. You won't come to God unless God draws you to Him. Let's go ahead and put a song here. We'll take a break and put a song here. Let's do Via Della Rosa by Pamela Pontia. Thank you.
down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del dolor, como vea, vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario ya morí. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Okay, turn to John 14:6, International Standard Verse. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And you know, when I was 19 years old, I joined the Marine Reserve, and I went to basic training in San Diego, California. I came home for a couple of weeks for take a break, and then they sent me out to Santa Ana, California, for I think it's like 3 or 4 months to train in active duty. And then I was sent back to the Dallas area to be a reservist. They called us weekend warriors. Anyway, during this time, the Lord began to deal with my life. And I while I was in Santa Ana, I put this scripture on my wall locker. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I love that scripture, but I didn't I didn't know the Lord was dealing with my life, and I didn't know that what was going on. But after I moved back to the Dallas area, the Lord continued to deal with me, and so I turned. You know, that's when I turned my life to Him, and then changes begin to start in my life. See, it's one thing to be saved; it's another thing to make Jesus Christ Lord over your life. And all you out there that have said a prayer and you've received Jesus as your Savior, you need to make Him Lord over your life. That's when He will begin to lead you, and that's when changes will take place in your life. Look at Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, you have to first come to the Lord. And there's only one way to come to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide on him. See, like I said, you can go out there and be a moral person and everything, but if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe Him, you're separated from God. Your sins are not paid for, and you will never go to heaven. It doesn't matter how good a person you strive to be, how many good deeds you do. It doesn't matter if you attend church or synagogue. You must be born again, and it all starts when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So I'm telling you, you try to be a good moral person. You cannot stand before God in your own righteousness. Only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are you acceptable to God as you receive Him and walk in Christ. All right. Turn to Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let's read 26, verse 26, New Living Translation. But he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, there are pleasures in sin, and this is what the devil tempts people with. But as people walk in the pleasures of sin, they become more corrupt and more bound by the devil. Look at Psalm 16:11. But thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. Thy right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. See? So there's pleasure in sin, and there's pleasures in God. And you know, God gives us all good things to enjoy. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, how would you like to have all good things to enjoy, be perfect and entire, wanting nothing? Now, why wouldn't a person go after this? Because of unbelief. People say, well, it's not until you get to heaven. No, let me tell you something. If you receive Jesus, if you'll be crucified with Him, then, you know, you get baptized in water, get a revelation of that, begin to crucify the flesh with the affection of love, then you'll be raised up with Him. The more you die to sin, the more you'll be raised up with Him and seated with him as a member of His body at the right hand of God, the Father, where there are pleasures forevermore. See, there's some suffering getting to this point, but people who don't follow God experience suffering too. Especially the more as the days go by, because misery and destruction are in their ways. See, the devil wants to deceive you. He wants to show you some Christians that are going through hard times, you know, and I don't want to go through that. And then he'll try to show you somebody that's going their own way, and they'll look how happy they are. Well, they won't stay happy. And the Christians will end up being happy. Look at John 16:20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and the Lord is talking to His people, Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Okay, so the world's rejoicing. They're enjoying the pleasures of sin. But remember, misery and destruction are in their paths. And as the days go by, they're becoming more sinful. And they'll be experiencing sadness, sorrow, sickness, and the end of their life, destruction. Now, you as a Christian will experience sadness and sorrow as you're having your heart dealt with by God, being corrected, walking down a pathway of judgment, which is correction. But as the days go by for the believer, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Let's look at that. Or let's read verse 20 of the Contemporary English. I tell you for certain that you will cry and be sad, but the world will be happy. You will be sad, but later you will be happy. See, now the next verse tells us why we're going through sadness and sorrow. Verse 21, a woman, when she's in travail, have sorrow. I'm going to show you what this parable means. Because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born in this world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, your joy. No man take it from you. See, do you see this scripture, this parable is comparing the pain and the sorrow of a woman going through giving birth to the pain and sorrow we go through as we're being born again. That's what it's talking about. Here, go back and read this over and over. And all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I see it. I see it. See, as we're being born again, there's going to be some sorrow. All right? But your sorrow will be turned into joy. And no man will take away your joy. Did you see that? You'll sorrow be turned into joy, and no man will be able to take away. Why? Because joy will be a part of your new nature. It is one of the characteristics, traits of the new creature in Christ. Now, for those of you that have never received the Lord, He's reaching out to you today, okay? Look at 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self bear our sins, His own body in the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep gone astray, but now ye return as shepherd and bishop of your soul. And the Lord has also called those of you that went astray to come back. Look at Matthew 18:12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go off into the mountains and seek up that which is gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 that went astray. See? He's happy to bring you back. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and our God. Now look what God will do when he tells you, when you return to him. He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon you. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see that? So, I want to encourage you, don't be deceived. Don't let the devil deceive you. Oh, you know, I've heard songs before where, I think, what was it, Billy Joe or something, talking about how we have more fun than the people that follow God. I forgot the words he used. And over the years, I've seen the devil try to mock people that follow God and exalt people as sinners. Yeah, you're a deceiver too. And let me tell you something. Let me give you this testimony. I remember when I was questioning whether I was saved, and I turned to Romans 10:9-10. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe on the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. So I was walking around at work, and I said, Do I believe that? And I kept saying, then I said, I believe that. And I went up to the break room to take a break, and I sat down. Peace of God came on to me, strong peace, like I'd never experienced before in my life. Supernatural peace. Then all of a sudden, a person stuck their head in the room, right through the wall. They didn't open the door. They just walked right through the wall. I couldn't see with my eyes. I know it. That there was a spiritual person that just stuck their head through the wall, looked at me, smiled, and then went away. And you know, it says, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. But God was confirming, I say, I've been walking with the Lord for over 40 years, and the Word of God has been proven to me over and over. I've had many revelations of the Lord. I've had many spiritual experiences with the Lord. Like I read in the Word of God how the Spirit of the Lord would come upon people. I've had the Spirit of the Lord come upon me and rest upon me. I've had God talk to me. I've experienced His power. I've had Him do so many things in my life. You know, we as believers, we know, and if you're a believer and you've not experienced this, press on until you do. But the Spirit of God will be work in you as you believe. It says in Ephesians 1, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us where we believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He was saying right there in those scriptures, He'll work the same power in you that He worked in Christ when He raised Him. And I've experienced that power working in me as I believe. So, the Word of God is real. Eternal life is real. Heaven is real. God is real. And so is hell. All right? Unfortunately, you know, some people are so hard. It says we should pull them out of the fire with fear. If you're out there and you have no fear of God, you have no regard for God, you just want to go your own way. Oh, I'm not afraid of God. I had this one guy at work. He told us, I used to talk to another friend of mine. He was a believer at work. And we would talk about things of God. And he would listen in sometime. He walked up to both one time and said, I'm not afraid of God. And my friend, we both looked at each other like, oh my God, this guy's a fool. He's a big fool. And it wasn't but a few years later after that, he died in a car wreck. Now, I don't know if he had repented. You know, sometimes God will get some people to repent and then He'll take their life because they're so foolish. If He doesn't take them then, they'll go back into sin. And so, but I don't know if this man repented or not. But if he didn't, he went to hell. And there are people in hell that'll never get out. And they are down there knowing that they deserve to be there, knowing that they rejected God, and they'll never get out of that place of torment. You don't want to go there. And I'm not one that wants to scare people to repentance. And I don't talk about hell a lot, but I'll tell you this much. It does say to pull people out of the fire. And, you know, if you're so hard-hearted, this may be your last chance for you to go, oh my God, I better turn to the Lord. But the other side is God is love and God is great. And, you know, the Word of God promises not only the blessings of the life to come, but blessings in this life. So receive the Lord, walk in Him, and get to know the Lord, and you'll be so glad you did. You'll be so happy that you did. So if there's any person out there that has never received the Lord, call upon the name of Jesus right now. It says there's no other name under heaven but the name of Jesus, whereby men must be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So say this prayer after me. Jesus, I call upon your name. Repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I receive you right now. I call upon your name. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. If you've done that, and you mean it, Spirit of Christ has entered into you. And if you'll seek the Lord, if you'll read the Word of God, if you'll walk in Christ, you can get to know Him. It's the greatest decision you ever made in your life. And you can have eternal life. You just look around at the world and see they're being destroyed. How many people are dying of sickness, disease, all the heartache, all the war, all the calamity in this world? Well, you can walk in the Lord and you can be delivered from all this stuff. And you can be brought into safety. And you, if you continue the Lord, your end will be everlasting life. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right? I believe that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Moved just like a tree that's planted by the water.